Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You see George Sedano on The Jump all the time. In fact, was it The Jump I was watching yesterday, Solana, that had Fizdale on it?
Yeah, it was yesterday. Fizdale looking good.
Had no idea. So I'm watching. I see Sedano and I see our friend Kendrick Perkins. And later on in the show yesterday, Crowder's talking about how Fizdale's trying to look young for a young woman. And then it hit me that that's who I was looking at next to Sedano on The Jump. Of course, Sedano hosts a show every day on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles. You know he's a proud Hialeahan, born and raised, and he's joining us now. Hello, George.
Hello, Hockman. Fizz is actually, Mrs. Fizz and Fizz are expecting very soon. So I was talking to him about that, and a little fizz will burst soon.
Crowder was
that's what we're hoping for.
Crowder was going nuts.
He's not trying to look nice for a young woman.
Crowder was growing nuts though, because he was wearing like a cashmere sweater and he's got the hair all grown out. I did not realize that was Fizdale.
Yeah, he looks. I told him he looks very professorial. To be honest with you, like I thought he looked like he could be teaching. History at like USC or something out here. Like
I thought it was Malcolm Gladwell for a little bit. I'm looking at it. I was like, I said to Crowder, if you gave me 1,000 guesses, I never would have gotten to David Fizdale in all my guesses.
The Fizz family is expecting. We're very excited.
Very cool. Always a member of the Heat family. When you're a member of the Heat family, you're always a member of the Heat family. Speaking of the Heat, Sedano, so you see them draft Precious Achiuwa, and your thought is?
I loved it. I wanted him or Tyrese Maxey in that range, and it's interesting because Maxey went right after to the Sixers. So I love it. Look, here's the thing, man. If you look at the way the NBA has trended this past year, right? I know that forever we did small ball revolution, right? But I think size is still necessary. I think the Lakers proved that. And when you look across the Eastern Conference, right, Milwaukee, who is a team the Heat are going to have to compete against. They have Giannis, who's like 6'10", 6'11", and they have Brooke Lopez. And they've got other guys. Even Middleton is like a big dude at 6'9", right? And Toronto has got a bunch of long guys. Siakam, Chris Boucher, Ibaka if he returns, right? They've got Gasol if he returns. You look at even Brooklyn, KD is 7 feet tall, okay? They're going to play a center, whether it's Allen if he's there and not traded, or DeAndre or whoever. They've got length, right? Caris LeVert is a big dude at 6'8 or so. All these teams, Boston is probably the one team that doesn't have a ton of length, but obviously they've got a lot of athleticism, which you got to guard. And then, of course, the Lakers. I mean, Anthony Davis is the best small ball center we have in the sport. I mean, he's an extraterrestrial, for God's sake, and then LeBron. So the teams the Heat would be competing against directly, right? I think all those teams have, for the most part, guys that you would need someone like Precious to help Bam out with.
When you're looking at this offseason for the Miami Heat, I'm kind of curious, both in a smaller scope and a bigger scope, what their next move is. Because obviously, all eyes will be on Giannis making his Supermax decision on whether or not he'll stay with Milwaukee. You have a bunch of different ways that this can go. If you were to say, what is the most likely thing for the Heat to do, starting with free agency, what would you kind of prescribe for them as their long-term strategy here?
First of all, I'm going to say, Crowder, you sound a lot different today. I got to be. Are you okay? You feeling under the weather?
He looked a little pale. He might be sick.
Yeah.
Make sure you watch Crowder tonight. By the way, make sure you watch him tonight on ESPNU. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. I know Solana told me. I didn't know that. I'll definitely check it out. I'll have it on one screen while I'm trying to figure out what the hell is happening in free agency. But to answer Young Whittingham's question. Look, I think the Heat will obviously address the guys in-house. We heard Pat Riley say that the other day. He'd like to run it back. Not to say that they won't add to the roster. They've got the full mid-level to work with, if I recall correctly. And, you know, in a perfect world, they'd like to split that up. You know, I think it's about 9 and change. So, you know, you can find a way to make that, you know, whatever, you know, almost $5 million, basically. You know, or $5-plus million, excuse me, in between two people. But maybe they give it to one person, or maybe they split it unevenly. Who knows? But anyway, I think they'll take care of Dragic. I think they'll take care of Crowder. I think they'd like to bring those guys back, particularly on one-year deals. And honestly, a guy that I think they should look at is someone that was just on the Lakers, and he opted out of the bubble so people didn't see him, but he was really good for them last year. And that's Avery Bradley, because one of the Heat's weaknesses was guarding the point of attack. And Avery Bradley had been hurt a lot the three previous seasons. But one thing he was always great at, and we saw that again last year, was he's a really good defender on the perimeter. And he clearly hits three-point shots, right? He's a great 3-and-D type player as long as he's healthy. And he proved last year that he could be healthy. So that would be someone I would look at because, you know, Dragic and Nunn, you know, are not necessarily great defenders at this stage. And clearly the Heat want to shoot the ball like everybody else. So I feel like Avery would be a really good fit. That would be someone I would target. I don't know if that's who the Heat would be targeting. But considering their vulnerability there at the point of attack and guarding, you know, quick guards and things like that, I think Avery would fill that hole perfectly.
George Sedano, ESPN Los Angeles. You mentioned the Lakers. What are they going to do? You know, the Heat and the Lakers are in an interesting spot because they just finished playing basketball. There's teams like Brooklyn and Chicago and the Knicks that haven't played in a long time. What are the Lakers going to do with LeBron? Are they going to keep him on a strict minutes limit? Are they going to, you know, are we going to not see him very much for the first month of the season? What do you think they're going to do?
So it's funny because LeBron has kind of joked with President Obama on the last edition of The Shop on HBO about how, you know, he may just kind of cherry pick the first half of the season. Now, while I do think that that's possible, I mean, I also know LeBron enough to know that he says those things. And then when the games start, he's like, I want to be out there, you know, like he's got FOMO, you know. So I think that I'd be surprised if we see a ton of load management as opposed to, like, as far as him sitting out games. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I just think that, yeah, they'll monitor his minutes. He played the least amount of minutes, I think, perhaps in his career last season. It certainly helps when you have Anthony Davis around, right? But I think that that could be a possibility. And they drafted a kid last year who we saw a little bit of in the playoffs called Talen Horton Tucker, young kid, really long. They like him a lot. Certainly a project type. And the Lakers have done a decent job of developing guys. I mean, we saw Alex Caruso be one of those guys. Kyle Kuzma has been pretty good for them as a guy that was young and they've developed. So they like this kid, and I think that he could see a little run. I'm talking about maybe 10 minutes a game or something to kind of spell LeBron some. So, yeah, I just think there'll be certain nights, Hawk, that they're not going to push the gas with LeBron. And they're just going to try to keep him around 30 minutes or so, at least early on.
What's the thing that can most shake up the NBA landscape right now? Because for me, that's already happened. It's Klay Thompson tearing his Achilles and taking Golden State kind of out of the title race picture a little bit. But what for you in terms of free agency things that could happen kind of in you know the next 12 hours would most kind of grab your attention?
Well, I mean, I don't think this is going to happen, but if Anthony Davis was like, no, I'm out, you know, like that clearly would change things. I don't see that happening. It's about Anthony Davis just wants to line up the contract right because he is in his eighth season, and at the 10th season, you can basically get the Supermax no matter what, no matter who you are in the league. And I think he wants to line himself up with his next contract up while also continuing to put pressure on the Lakers, much like LeBron did with the Cavs for many years, right? Signing shorter contracts to get himself to a certain position. So that would certainly be it. But I'm with you on Clay. And here's the thing on Clay, and I don't think people understand this. And I know there's been a lot of, you know, Hawk and Crowder and I have talked about this, Witty, a lot about the ratings and whatnot. Look, we've seen ratings in sports drop significantly across the board, right? Like horse racing is down, like the Kentucky Derby is down 50%. And there's no, we're not talking about social justice when it comes to horses, no disrespect to horses. You know what I'm saying? Like the reality is people's habits have been completely thrown out of whack. There are, 30, 40 million people unemployed. There are people off the grid. So that's been a huge issue. Why am I talking about that? Because with the Warriors specifically, okay, I've seen the metrics, okay, from the league and ESPN. The Warriors are a huge draw from a television audience perspective. It's basically LeBron and the Lakers, or any LeBron team, but the Lakers obviously also in that top, usually in that top spot too. But when you combine their forces, they're definitely in the top spot. And then it's the Warriors. And even individually, it's LeBron that gets eyeballs to the table, then it's Steph, and then there's a big drop-off to number three. So Steph is still around, so that should help some, but the fact that the Warriors can't be championship relevant, or at least I don't believe they are anymore, I think that changes things some, because I think the audience isn't dumb. They realize, yeah, I mean, they'll be good, they'll be fun to watch, but you're not getting the casuals to come and watch those games. You know what I mean? As much as you would if they were completely healthy and people thought they had a legit shot at a championship, which, look, I wasn't ruling them out if that was the case. I wasn't going to rule them out if they were 100% healthy, because I love the Wiseman pick for them. You know, I think that kid is going to be really good for them.
And to kind of stay on that point from kind of an interest level, for me, one of the other aspects of that is kind of the Warriors developed this interest both because they had this incredible entertainment factor, right? You watch their games and they're immensely fun, but you knew that they were going to stick around for a while. That team was going to be together, whereas it was kind of weird to me that the Lakers didn't pick up a similar momentum. Do you think as champions, the Lakers will kind of have that sense of everyone needs to watch them, they're must watch, and who are kind of the other teams that you think will fit into that mold? Because I really don't think the NBA has a ton of them. As much as I enjoy watching a lot of teams in the NBA, I don't think the nation necessarily agrees.
David Stern always famously said, or once famously said, when asked what would be his dream finals, he said the Lakers versus the Lakers. And he's right. You know what I'm saying? Like, even despite all the stuff that we've seen and all the things I just outlined there in regards to how strange television ratings, and by the way, television ratings, I've told this to Hawk before on air, are down 40% overall year over year in the prime demo, which is, I think it's 18 to 54 or whatever it is in television. So that's just the reality of where we are. People are just either not watching regular television and cable and satellite television anymore because they're on to other things, you know? But I guess to your point, look, I still think it's the Lakers in a big way because you have them and LeBron. I think we are going to be closer to what a normal season would look like. I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, right? With all the stuff that's going on right now, who knows? But I think that it's definitely the Lakers. I think that Zion was someone who was bringing people to the table. Zion's first five nationally televised games all did over 2 million. Which is a really good number for a regular season NBA game. So I think that they're someone to keep an eye on, especially if he's healthy and they're good. I think that Brooklyn with KD, I think is someone to keep an eye on. I still think the Warriors will draw. Like, I think it'll be intrigue, but it won't be as much as I mentioned earlier. So I think from an intrigue standpoint, I think those are kind of some of the teams you're looking at. Boston always rates pretty well, too, just historically. A lot of fans across the country because they've been dominant for so long over a – oh, well, I mean, look, we can parse that, right? Like, they were really dominant, like, pre-1968, basically. And then they've had spurts of being really good after that. But still, a lot of fans, much like the Lakers. Zion, as I mentioned. KD, just because he's a draw. And by the way, you know, if they trade for Harden, then they really become on the radar, right? Like, I think that is something to really monitor, because if Harden ends up there, all of a sudden there's a lot of pressure on them. It kind of becomes as unique a situation as we've seen since maybe the big three in Miami, where all of a sudden you're like, well, you guys are going to have to figure that out. The parts don't necessarily fit perfectly, and every game is going to feel like a big game. So I think that could be a bit of a game changer, too. I know you asked me that question earlier. So in retrospect, I'm kind of answering both your questions now with that particular answer.
Zion, for me, that is must-watch TV. I feel that way about Trae Young as well. I got to ask you one thing, though, because it's Football Friday. Sedano's with us. He hosts his show every day in Los Angeles. Is Tua Tagovailoa a national topic? Can you spend time talking about him on your show in Los Angeles?
Yeah, absolutely. We did it all week last week when they were playing the Chargers, Tua versus Herbert. And I think that, you know, his first start was a big deal. Like, everybody was talking about it. I was on Around the Horn also yesterday, and we did the Tua topic of him saying that he was taken out of context. Like, that's how you know you've hit a different level when we're talking about you on a national television show at 5 o'clock Eastern, you know, in the B block, you know, which is the second segment. And all you did was clarify something. Like, that's when you know that you're a big deal. And I think for the Dolphins, it's great. Like, as long as he's healthy, man. And look, I was worried, okay, about his health. But so far, so good. And, you know, you got to trust the people around you. You got to trust the doctors. And you got to trust the kid. So I hope, I said at the time, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope he's amazing. You know, but I initially would have held him back a little longer, but I absolutely see why Flores did it. Fitzpatrick, for as fun as he can be, is a bit of a turnover machine, because that's who Ryan Fitzpatrick is. And Tua is not. I know in that Cardinals game, he threw two errant passes. One of them, as he was running out of bounds and trying to throw it away, almost threw it in the gut of some cornerback. He is an accurate passer. Like, people talk about him in the same vein as Drew Brees. So, like, I think that he's got the star quality. He seems like an unbelievable kid. Like, everyone you talk to says that about him. He's got the makings of a star. So that's what the Dolphins have needed. The Dolphins have not been nationally relevant since Dan Marino. I know they had a little stint with Ricky Williams, basically. But then outside of that, you know, even those Chad Pennington team, the Wildcat was cool, but it wasn't this. Like, you've got an established, potentially an established star at the most important position. And if that happens, you know, as big a rock star as he was in college, it's only going to be even bigger as far as the national landscape is concerned and wanting to talk about Tua and the Dolphins.
Yeah, it is fun down here right now when it comes to football, George. It is fun.
I mean, it's fun in general. Miami's on the comeback, man. 2020 has sucked, but Miami's on the comeback. The Dolphins are good. The Heat are obviously really good. I mean, the Marlins made the playoffs.
Marlins made the playoffs.
The Hurricanes are dealing... Yeah,
7-1 though. 7-1. You ain't complaining about 7-1.
7-1. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, the Panthers. I mean, what are you going
to
do?
I mean, they made it to a play-in series. That's got to count for something. Yeah, we had some games in hand. Games in hand are always fun.
I love Randy Bowler as much as the next guy. Okay, the Red Deer. Okay, I love me some Red Deer. But didn't like 20 something teams make the playoffs in hockey this past year?
Granted, it wasn't the greatest accomplishment to make a play-in series and then not advance in that play-in series. But listen, baby steps, George. Baby steps.
Oh, no, it is fun
down here. I'm not lying. George Sedano, yeah. ESPN, ESPN Los Angeles. Have a great weekend, and we will speak with you soon.
All right, guys. Be safe. Take care.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.